Well, great to be back here again, and greetings from Goolwa Vive Church. And I've been sharing with Brenton that we've been having a wonderful time reaching kids, teenagers, and that's been the highlight recently. And I was sharing with Brenton and Phil that we bought a bus to pick up kids, and then we had so many kids we needed to buy another bus. But we went to hire one for the kids camp, for the youth camp rather, and we just could not hire a bus. Anyway, Matthew went to a bus hire company, but it had closed down. And the guy said, "No, I'm not hiring buses anymore, but I have two buses to sell." And Matthew said, "Well, how much could we buy one of the buses for?" And he said $33,000, which was a fair price. It was a younger bus than the one we had bought for $20,000 some months ago. And it had low mileage, so $33,000 was a very fair price. Anyway, he allowed Matthew to borrow the bus for their youth camp. And when Matthew returned the bus, he said, "God spoke to me over the weekend, and I'm selling you the bus for $11,000. And I said to my son Matthew, "Well, that's the providence of God. That's God confirming that he's blessing your ministry." And so that was wonderful. So that's the latest news from Goolwa.
He said there's two more buses for sale.
Oh, he's on a roll. He's spending all the building fund money. He said, "Dad, what do you think? Do you think I could spend $33,000 on the of the building fund money?" And I said, "Look, this is where God is blessing. This is where God is prospering. Go ahead. You know, we can continue to hire a building for a long time. And so you buy the bus and God will bless it." Lo and behold, it was miraculous. Okay. A warmer watch today, so I don't speak over time. I was asked to share on rescuing people, sharing Christ with people, so I know that's on Brenton's heart, and I said I'd love to share on that, because that is one of the greatest joys of my life, is sharing Christ with precious people. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, "God has restored our relationship with him through Christ, and he has given to us this ministry of reconciliation." That means to bring people into relationship with God. The moment we come to Christ, we are given an assignment, a life assignment. And we Christians have the greatest of causes, and that is to introduce precious people to Jesus Christ. And that is the greatest thing you can ever do for a human being, is to tell them about Jesus, to introduce them about Jesus. Why? We have the greatest news in the world, and people need to hear. People need to hear that Jesus died for them on a cross so their sin could be forgiven and they could become children of God. They need to hear that Jesus Christ gives a significant purpose for life: loving God, loving people, and training here on earth to rule the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ for eternity. We're in training. We're in training because the Bible says that we will rule with God and we will rule angels. So we're in training here on earth, ready for eternity. And people need to hear, particularly in these troubled times. We prayed about the Middle East this morning. It is a terrible time that the world is facing at the moment. But we need to tell people that Jesus Christ gives us the gift of eternal life and an eternal home in heaven. You know, just everlasting life where there are no more sorrows, no more tears, with God forever and ever. So we have good news for all people, the greatest news that a person can ever hear. But you know, we need to earn the right to share it. Now, if you walk up to someone that you don't know and say you need to repent of your sin, give your life to Jesus Christ, most of them will think, what planet did you get off of? We need to know how to build relationships with people so that they will give us permission to share with them, to share with them about God's love, God's acceptance and God's forgiveness. So this morning I want to share 5 principles for building relationships with people so that they will invite you to share God's news with them, so that they will open the door to their life and give you permission to share with them about Jesus Christ. Okay, you've got the notes there. And those 5 principles are: be proactive, be real, identify common ground, demonstrate God's love, and expect God to use you. Be proactive. Our being proactive actually commences with prayer. We need to ask God to guide us to people, lead us to people, lead people to us. And so that is the commencement of being proactive. Saying, God, help me, send people to me, send me to people. Cause me to have eyes that see those in need, to see opportunities to be kind. And so proactivity begins with prayer, talking to God about giving us opportunities. Now, I'm actually an introvert. I am not a social person. I grew up an introvert. Growing up, I had no friends. I was a loner. I was socially dysfunctional. But coming to Christ, I learned to, in faith, step out and relate to people. Even though it was against my nature, my personality. And even today, I still step out in faith. I still make an effort. I still need to, by faith, step out of my inferiority that came from my childhood and basically love people and care for people. So I've learned to take the initiative in building friendships with people. So I'm not this extrovert out here speaking to you, and you may be an introvert. I'm not this extrovert saying, be like me. You know, you need to get off your bum and, you know, be like me, an extrovert. No, I'm actually an introvert saying, like me. If you're an introvert and quiet and shy, like me, you can trust God to enable you to step out in faith and build relationships with people. So I am proactive. I'm proactively looking for people that God is sending to me, or I am sending to God. And every day I pray, God, guide me to someone. Give me an opportunity today to be kind to someone, to share Christ with someone, to build a relationship with someone. So I'm looking for opportunities. And you know what? When we're praying for the salvation for people and praying, God, give me a love, let me feel your love for people. And when we're praying that way, we actually carry God's love. We actually have God give us love. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so I pray, God, shed your love abroad in my heart. Let me just be filled with your Holy Spirit and his love for people. And that motivates me to take the initiative to reach out to the workmate, the next door neighbour, the checkout chicken, Woolies, whatever. And so I've coined the phrase care and dare. Care and dare to step out in love to earn the right to share. So care, dare and share. And maybe that's a good little word to put on the fridge. Care, dare and share. So that every day when you go to the fridge to get your breakfast, get your milk out for breakfast, you see care, dare and share. And let that be a motivator for reaching precious people for Christ. Just last Monday, one of our married mums got a couple of kids from Goolwood Church. Her name is Rachel. She commenced her first day of being employed in an early learning centre. Is that what you call it? Early learning centre?
Community early learning
centre. So it was her first day of employment. And she observed that one of the other staff looked really, really sad. And so she gently said to her in a moment's break, "Do you need somebody to talk to?" And tears rolled out her eyes and said, "Yes, I do." And so Rachel invited her over to her house after work. And she rang up Mitty, the pastor's wife, my son's wife, and said, "Would you come and join with me and meet with this lady who's asked to share, asked to have somebody to talk to?" And Mitty said, "Yeah, I'll be right over." Anyway, they shared with her and led her to Christ. And today is her first day of attending Goolwood Church. What a privilege. What a wonderful privilege. You know, because actually I shared this message at Goolwa 3 weeks ago and Rachel grabbed it. She got it in her heart and she saw the opportunity and just said a simple thing. "Do you need someone to talk to?" And now this precious lady has come to Christ. So God specifically puts people in your life so that you can care, dare and share. And when they experience your care, they open the door for you to invite them, to invite you to share with them, to talk about Jesus, to invite them to church, share a word, a tape, book, whatever. So point one, be proactive. Point two, be real. If you want to build strong relationships, if you want to enter into a person's world, you must be real. People can see fakes. People can read whether you really care for them, really interested in them or not. And when you care, when you actually love people and you're filled with God's love, they can feel it and they want to be around you and they want to talk to you. And so we need to be real, authentic, honest, open, real. 2 Corinthians, we can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have been honest and sincere in all our dealings. That's what builds relationships. Honesty, sincerity, being real, being authentic, being interested, really interested in people builds relationships. Now, I want to tell you a little secret, and that is everybody knows you're not perfect. Everybody knows that you've got faults and you've got problems. You've got something that you're struggling with. We all have. Nobody in this world has it all together. Nobody is perfect. And when we convey that truth to people, that we are not any better, you know, we simply are children of God who are still growing, still learning, God's still helping us, you know, people open up to us. You know, we just need to be real and caring. You don't have to be perfect to build relationships. People are drawn to us when we're open, honest, vulnerable, interested in them, caring for them. So, as Christians, we need to be honest and real about our problems. We don't have to share the really horrible warts and blood and guts and stuff. I'm not saying that. But we do need to be honest and real, that we have problems and difficulties, but that through Jesus we have a power and we have a strength and we have a source of help and hope. And we also have a church family that supports us, where we find help, encouragement and comfort from each other. And today, with society's breakdown, so many people don't have that. 2.5 years ago, Robin and I were introduced by a lady by the name of Kath. And Kath and her husband had been separated for 12 months. And the situation looked pretty bleak. It looked like they would never get together again. And anyway, we started sharing with Kath, and we shared about our marriage, even as Christians, and we shared how we nearly broke up and how the first 20 years of our life was hell. Might be 15 years, first 15, 20 years was just hell. And we were both Christians, but we were just so damaged and no one knew how to help us. And we were so different in our personalities. And we shared with Kath that through God, through his love, through God directing us to some tools, our marriage went from hell to heaven. And so we said, can we meet with you and your husband for maybe 6-8 weeks, one night a week, and share with you about our lives and how God changed our marriage? She said, I would love that. So we made an appointment and we drove to their place at Littlehampton. And so every week we'd go from Murray Bridge to Littlehampton for 2 or 3 hours. And would spend with them, sharing with them. To cut a long story short, their marriage was restored. They've been together now well over a year. Back together, happily married. And about a year ago, Kath received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Saviour. She invited Christ into her heart. And she was baptised in the Spirit as well. And she is a hot on Christian and sharing Christ with everybody and sharing with everybody how Jesus healed her marriage and restored her love. And wonderful story. So be real. Number 3, identify common ground. If you want to build a relationship with somebody, it helps to discover what you have in common. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. How do you find common ground with somebody? You simply show interest and listen with your heart. Now, everyone has a story to tell. And you know what? People love telling their story. I think it makes them feel like it's some sort of validation of their life, that their life is worth something if they can tell somebody about their life, about their story. So I ask a question when I meet someone, tell me about yourself, you know, and then I listen. And you know, people are dying for someone to show genuine interest in them, because interest equates to care. Not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I took Robin to church at Goolwa, and I took my evangelistic dog down the beach. for a walk. Why did I do that? Because I had a terrible cold and I did not want to cough and sneeze over everyone and give everyone else my cold. So I go, oh, here's an opportunity to share Christ. Jesus, lead me to someone on the beach. Well, he didn't lead me to someone, he led me to two different families. So my whole morning was taken up as sharing Christ. But anyway, I went to go for a walk over the sand hills. I was at the dead end of a street, and then it had a walkway, fence walkway over the sand hills to the beach, Goolwa Beach. Anyway, I started walking up the sand hill. Over the top of the sand hill, coming back from the beach, was this couple that had two Labradors. Well, their Labradors wanted to speak to my Labradoodle, and they wanted to pat my Labradoodle. And anyway, so we got talking. And I said, where do you live? And the Goolwa just down the street. Do you live in Goolwa? No, I said, I come to Goolwa every Sunday to help my son with his church. I said, he runs a church in the high school in Goolwa. And they go, oh yeah, we know where that high school is. I said, you're very welcome to come any time you like. So I had an opportunity to invite them to church. But they just wanted to keep talking and talking. And we talked and we were building a relationship. And then I turn around and there's another family with four dogs. And they were waiting there impatiently because their four dogs were going to cross with our three dogs and it was going to be chaos. So I said, oh, look, I'm going to have to go because these people are wanting to bring their four dogs for a run down the beach. And so we parted and they said, oh, we'll see you next week. And I was thinking, next week at church or next week at the sandhill? So I'm not sure. But anyway, they weren't at church, so I guess they were looking for me down the sandhills. Anyway, so I took the dog for a walk and I met another Indian family, but I didn't get to talk to them. But they had a Labradoodle. Sorry, they had a brown Labradoodle. I got a white Labradoodle. But anyway, so I'm walking back down and I'm almost to the car park and I see this couple get out of the car. And so they waited for me to get to the bottom because of, you know, this narrow path and a dog. And I get down there and they say, oh, that's a lovely dog. Can we pat your dog? I said, sure. And I said, so where are you from? This question. Are you from Goolwa? Oh, no. And the guy said, I live near where Seton Christian Family Centre Church is. And I said, oh. I said, I sense a South African accent. And he said, yes, you're right, I'm South African. And I said, so how come you've come to Australia? And he tells me a story. His wife died from cancer. He's come. He's now got a girlfriend who he's courting. And they came down from Adelaide to go for a walk on the beach. And I said, I used to live near Seton. I said, in fact, I said, I started the Christian Family Centre Church on Frederick Road. Do you know? He said, yeah. I said, I started that church 50-something years ago. Now I'm helping my son run his church at Goolwa. Well, that's it. He did not want to go. And so he's talking to me, and the girlfriend's walking to the entrance, walking back, walking to the entrance, walking back. Anyway, she got sick of it, so she walked over to the beach. That gave him his opportunity. He said, could you spend 10 or 15 minutes with me while the girlfriend's walking down the beach? And I thought, man, he's got something important he wants to talk about to let his girlfriend disappear. He said, can you tell me what happens when we die? And I said, well, if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, he gives us eternal life. I said, and when we die, he gives us a home in heaven. And the Bible says that when we see him, we will be like him. We will have a physical body, but a spiritual body. A body that never dies, never gets sick. And I said, I had this revelation just a couple of weeks ago. I said, I was looking at some old videos I said, on a hard drive, on a memory drive. And on the old videos was my son Matthew with his first girlfriend. And I said, oh, I don't want Mitty to see that video with Matthew with his old first girlfriend. So I said, I deleted it. And then it dawned on me. I said, I was a child sexual abuse victim. And I used to think to myself, how can there be no more sorrow and no more tears when I remember what happened to me and the pain? And it dawned on me, God has my memories on a hard drive within his own being. And he is going to remove the painful memories. He's going to remove the memories of when I did terrible things. I don't want to remember the horrible things I did, the hateful things, the cruel things of my life. And he's going to remove it. Not only is he going to remove it from the memory, the hard drive, the memory drive, he's going to remove it from his own memory. And it'll be no more. And you can see the guy, you know, his eyes lighting up. And I said to him, you know, we are given eternal life in a heavenly home. No more sorrow, no more tears. We are home of love forever and ever. And I said to him, could I recommend you go to Christian Family Centre Church, Frederick Road at Seaton, and listen to more about Jesus Christ? Maybe open your heart to him, get to know him. And I said, I better let you go. Your girlfriend's going to be pretty upset with you. And so we parted. And I just came away from there just overjoyed. You know, I just felt so blessed, so honoured that I had the opportunity to share the love of God with this man. You know, finding common ground is a great way to build relationships, to open a door, to care and share. We just have to dare to step out in faith. I'm interested in archery. I'm a keen archer. Almost every day I go out in my backyard, I shoot my bow, one arrow, I walk 30 yards, walk back, shoot it, I do that. And I'm getting exercise for my upper body, exercise for my legs, eye-hand coordination, and it keeps me young and fit. And people say to me, how come you're so fit and you're so old? And I say, because I shoot my bow and arrow every day. And so you need to take up archery, I say jokingly. But I met a young man called Dwayne. I'm going to have to move. But I'll tell you this story. I met a young man, Dwayne, and he said, I told him I was into archery. He said, oh, I'd love to try archery. I said, well, come over. And I said, I've got some spare bows. I'll sell you one. And I'll teach you how to shoot it, and I'll take you hunting. So Dwayne is a character. He's a rogue. He's a lovable rogue and a real character, a live wire, a rascal. But, you know, just an outgoing, lovable rascal. Anyway, we became good friends. We would go hunting together and stuff like that. I invited him to church, and he and his girlfriend came to church. They didn't receive Christ. We went to Port Hedland, or anyway, somehow we parted, and we didn't see him for years. And just recently, and when I say recently, probably end of last year, early this year, I dropped into Lifehouse in Murray Bridge for some reason on a Friday night, which I don't do because we're involved in Goolwa now. And lo and behold, who was there taking his kid to kids' church? Dwayne. I said, Dwayne, what are you doing? He said, oh, I've got married, I've got a kid, and I bring my kid to kids' church here every week. All because I built a relationship through a common interest, archery. So there's Dwayne bringing his little boy to kids' church at Lifehouse. So be proactive, be real, identify common ground. At number four, demonstrate God's love. On your notes, you'll see Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ. See, our goal is to be like Jesus Christ. And he served and he loved. And he told us to do that too. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life for many. And he calls us to give our lives to others, to love them. And how can you show love to people? It says here, 1 John 3:17, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. So how can we show love to people? Proverbs 11 verse 17 is one of my favourite scriptures. Your soul is nourished when you are kind. And I said to you, I pray every day, God, lead me to someone to whom I can be kind, to whom I can demonstrate love through kindness. And see, kindness attempts to meet the three most essential needs of every person. And when you meet people's needs through kindness, it's so thrilling. It's as it says, your soul is enriched. You enrich your own soul when you are kind. And I come away from acts of kindness just feeling like enriched, better, deeper, larger, more loving, greater purpose in life. You know, everybody needs acceptance, affirmation, and assistance. And so you demonstrate love when you accept people just as they are. In other words, they don't have to clean up their life for you to like them, love them, accept them. You accept them just as they are in non-judgmental love. We do need to understand the difference between acceptance and approval. Jesus embraced the prostitutes, the drunkards, the immoral. He cared for them, accepted them. He didn't approve of their behaviour because he knew it was going to rob them of real life. So our model is Jesus Christ. He was kind to everybody. He loved everybody before they came to faith. In fact, the religious people of the day couldn't stand Jesus because he embraced the down and outs, the prostitutes, the ungodly. In fact, they called him the friend of sinners, and they used that as a derogatory term. Ah, this is the friend of sinners. You know, he can't be God. But everybody needs love, acceptance and forgiveness. And building friendship starts here. Secondly, you show love to people by affirming them. Everybody needs emotional support. Everybody is going to experience catastrophe and tough times in their life. The death of a loved one, marital breakdown, emotional abuse, loneliness, financial difficulty. And so when you offer your support, just like Rachel said, do you need somebody to talk to? See, that lady was in the midst of a marital breakdown. Do you need somebody to talk to? Can I give you some support? And she affirmed her and supported her. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens, and that's what friendship is all about. Thirdly, you show love to people by assisting them. Everybody needs practical love. And you can often build a relationship by offering some practical assistance. Taking them a meal, repairing something, visiting them in hospital. One more story. In closing. The story of Pud. This guy called Pud came to the church in Murray Bridge. It's back further. when I was the pastor of Seton Christian Family Centre Church. Pud came to the church and came 3 or 4 weeks. And then he didn't come anymore. So I went and saw him. I knew where he lived. And I said, Pud, just giving you a visit. Haven't seen you. You know, it was great to have you coming to church for 3 or 4 weeks. Just wondering if there's anything I can do to help you. And Pud goes, well, Ray, it's like this. He said, I came to church and every week I went to the nudist colony. And he said, and I had to decide, do I join the nudist colony for my social life or do I join the church? And I decided I'd join the nudist colony. I said, oh, okay, Pud. But look, if you change your mind, you know you're welcome to come back to church. Anyway, didn't hear from Pud for a year. And a year later, I get a phone call. And, excuse me. Got a phone call from Pud. And Pud said, Ray, can you come around and see me? And he lived just down the street. So I went and saw Pud, knocked on the door, his wife showed me in, took me into the bedroom. And there was Pud in bed. He said, oh, Ray. He said, wonderful to see you. He said, Ray, could you do the job for me? I said, what do you mean? What job? What job do you want me to do for you? He said, oh, I'm dying. He said, I've only got maybe 4 or 5 weeks to live. And so, would you do my funeral? Oh, I said, oh, Pud, I'd be honoured to do your funeral. And, yeah, no, not a problem at all. I said, have you thought about, now you're dying, you're leaving this earth, have you thought about maybe accepting Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? He goes, Ray, I'm too bad. You know, I rejected Jesus for my lust, for the nudist colony. He said, there's no way I could have ever expect Jesus Christ to accept me now that I'm dying. So he said, no, Ray, I can't do that. It's not right. Not right for me to do that. I said, well, Pud, Jesus died for sinners. So I said, you're really qualified. You're very well qualified. So he said, no, Ray, it just isn't right. I would just feel that that was not the right thing to do. I've been a bad man. I said, well, Pud, the invitation's there. Jesus invites you to ask him to be your Lord and Saviour. Become a child of God. Oh, think about it, Ray. Anyway, a week or two later, he was put into East Terrace Hospital. I don't know if East Terrace Hospital is still there, little hospital. And so I went and saw Pud and shared with him. And I said, Pud, can I pray for you? He goes, yes, Ray, you can pray for me. And I prayed for him and asked God to touch his heart and life and reveal God's love to him. And I said, Pud, did you feel anything? He said, yeah, I felt a warm glow go all over my body. I said, Pud, that was Jesus telling you that he loves you. And he would love you to be his child. He goes, oh, I definitely felt something all over me. I said, well, would you like to accept Jesus? And he said, yes. And I led him in a prayer. I said, say after me, Pud. Dear Father, he says, dear Father, I am a terrible sinner. I am a terrible sinner, but thank you that you love me and that Jesus died to take all my sin. So I give all of my sin to Jesus. And I ask Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour, and the tears started to run down his eyes. And he accepted Jesus. So I went back the very next day and to pray for him, to continue to share Christ with him. He said, "Ray, come in, come in." He said, you wouldn't believe what happened. He said, "Jesus came into my room last night and he actually told me." He said, "I heard it verbally. Jesus told me that he loved me and that I was a child of God now." And I started to cry. And he said, "I have never felt such love in all my life." He said, "It's just a bit like when you prayed for me, but 100 times more." He said, "If I'd only known how much God loved me, I would never have gone to that nudist colony." I said, "Oh, let's not talk about that, Pud. You had a new life. You got an eternal life." So I went back to see him the next day. Walked into his room. No one there. He'd passed away that next night and gone to be with Jesus. You know, what a privilege it is to demonstrate God's love, sharing our life with people before they're holy, before they've got it all together, before they're good people. Because put in his own words, "I'm an evil man." And I knew that. But I treated him like Jesus would treat him. He was a friend of sinners. So I made it very clear to put, regardless of what he did, I would be a friend to him and love him and care for him. So in closing, expect God to use you. Because there's nothing more fulfilling and satisfying knowing that you're helping a person move from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, fear to love, hate to love, from fear to faith. You know, you change their eternal destiny, and it's the greatest experience in the world to be able to influence a person's eternal destiny. How does it happen? You just make yourself available. Just every day, pray, "God, use me. I'm willing to be shared, willing to be used by you to share your love. Jesus, lead me to someone today to whom I can demonstrate kindness." I've got some more illustrations, but I've run out of time. But what we're talking about this morning is the most important thing in the world. Leading people out of hell into heaven. Out of fear into faith, out of hate into love, out of brokenness into wholeness, having their sins forgiven, becoming friends with God. There's nothing more important than that. This is the number one task of everything we do, because everybody needs Jesus. Now, people are going to be in heaven because we Christians have stepped out and said, "I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be proactive in being kind, caring, and in building relationships." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today for letting us in on your great plan. Thank you for saving us with your grace when we didn't deserve it. And it's wonderful. There's just this wonderful gift, this wonderful grace, this wonderful good news. But sadly, so many of the people around us don't know about your wonderful gift, your wonderful plan. So I pray, help us to build relationships of love and trust with the people that you have placed around us. As we close, may we all pray the prayer, "God, use me as a bridge builder, as a relationship builder in 25, 26 and beyond." Let us all pray every day, "Use me any way, anytime, anywhere, that I might share the great things you've done for me and help precious people discover the love of Christ and their eternal destiny." I pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.